tonight. Very good. Appreciate that. Take your Bible and go back, if you will. I want to speak tonight on a destroyed family. A destroyed family. Why is it that God destroyed Achan and his family? In Joshua chapter 7 and verse 24, here's what we see as Joshua and, the Bible says, all the Israelites, if you would please, all of Israel was with him, and they took Achan. Pay attention to this. And they took Achan, they took the silver, they took that which is the garment that he stole. These are things that he stole, the wedge of gold, and his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his ass, his sheep, the Bible says, in his tent, and all that he had, and brought them into the valley of Achor. All right, so now what's happening is whatever he did certainly caused that which is the wrath of God to be displayed on him. Not just him, but on his family. So what is it that he did so bad? If you'll remember, there was a battle. There was the battle of Jericho. And God told that which is Joshua said, tell the people now not to take of any of the spoils of that cursed city. Well, Achan thought, I'm just going to do what I want to do. Nobody will know. So the Bible teaches that he took a wedge of gold. He took that which was a garment. And he took 20 shekels of silver, or 200 shekels of silver. And he took them and he hid them in his tent. I don't know if the kids knew that he hid them in the tent. I don't know. I don't know if they saw daddy coming in the lip of the tent and hiding them. I don't know. But I do know that most of the time, what goes on inside a person's house, pretty much everybody's aware of it. But here's what we see. We see that he did that. Then the Bible says here that the men that was there, the Israelites, those of all of Israel and Joshua, what did they do? They brought them out, all of them. Not just all of them, but all of that which was his ox, all of his belongings, the asses, the sheep, all that was in the tent, all that he had. Then look down in that verse I read you just a moment ago, Joshua chapter 7, verse 25. The Bible says, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? So it was troubling not just to that which was the family of Achan. It was troubling to the Israelites, to all of Israel, us. The Bible says, the Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all of Israel, the Bible says, stone him with stones. Now watch the wording carefully. The Bible says, and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. The Bible says in verse 26, the Bible says, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So that the Lord turned, it says, from the fierceness of his anger. It says, wherefore the name of the place is called the Valley of Achor unto this day. So here's the story, if you will. You see, here's a family, the family of Achan. You see that God had said to those, and he was a part of the military men that attacked that which is the city of Jericho, a city that was cursed by God. And the Bible says that that which is Joshua rose up and he says to all of the Israelite men that fought in the battle, this place, don't take any of the spoils, not one thing. But Achan snuck around. He did what he wanted to do. He thinks that nobody's looking, but may I remind you, my dear friend, no matter how much you think nobody is looking, God is always looking. The Bible says that here all these men come back from the battle, but Achan has some things that he has hid from, he thinks, everyone. Now it comes time to fight another battle. So now they get ready to go and they fight another battle. This is not a big city. This is not a walled-in city. This is not a city that would be considered like a fortress. This is the little city of Ai. So now they rise up, and as these men that are well in their battle, if you would please, garb, as these men that are professional fighters, they go against the city of Ai. When they go against the city of Ai, the Bible says they lost. By the way, when they lost, that means that there was some men that lost their lives. That means that there was some husbands that lost their lives. That means that there was some, if you would please, fathers that lost their lives that would never go back to their homes again because of one man that chose to disobey God because of one man that said, I'm going to do what I want to do. May I say, as we talk about a destroyed family tonight, it might describe a little bit about your family. When you think about different ones that have lost their children over the years, and can I tell you, it's been a heartbreak. It's been a heartbreak to be able to see in churches that preach the Bible and teach the Bible and teach what is truth and be able to expound the Scriptures, and you look out, and their children's not doing anything for God. You look out, and some of them have a very poor testimony. Oh, I read, yes, even about children of preachers that have gone wayward. I think about Billy Sunday. Most of the time we think about Billy Sunday, and he had one son. You remember that son was a drunk, but they forget about the other two sons as well. He had three sons. He preached against liquor like no man's business, but all three of his sons were drunks. Something went wrong. I don't know what went wrong. But can I tell you, we've got to be careful, not just the way that we live out in the public. We got to be careful about how we live inside the home. Because your children are watching you. Your children will mimic you. I have the privilege, my wife and I, to have grandchildren. Can I tell you, we can say something and our grandchildren, just little wee kids, you know, will repeat what we say. And they will believe every word because they'll think it's the gospel. Can I tell you, when you have children, some of them, no matter what age they are, they're impressionable. I've seen teenagers say this. They say, well, my dad doesn't love God enough to be in church faithful, so I'm deciding that when I get his age, I'm not going to go to church faithful either. I've seen it. I've seen, if you would please, children that rise up and say, well, my dad listens to that type of music in the home, and if it's all right for my dad to listen to that type of music in the home, it's all right for me to listen to that type of music in the home. I've seen it. I've seen dads that break the speed limit so the child thinks, well, it's okay, break the speed limit. I've seen it. I've seen men that don't pray over their meal because they're ashamed of their God in public, and now I find out that their kids that are grown, they don't pray over their meals either. I've seen it. May I say that there could be the destruction inside of the home, and we could be the very reason that there is destruction inside of the home. We have to be careful. God has given us precious children. Yea, maybe even grandchildren. You have to be careful what you do because they're more apt to do what you do than not do what you say not to do. So here's what we understand about the story tonight. We understand that Achan was a soldier. We understand that he was a part of that delegation, that army, if you would, that went against the city of Jericho. We understand that God gave them a great victory. We understand all that. We understand that somehow, some way, he crept around and he stole what he should not have stole. He should not have taken anything that was accursed into his house. The problem with our Christianity today is that we bring the world inside of our houses. Things that are a curse. Things that we know a Christian should not watch, and things that we know a Christian should not listen to, and things we know that a Christian ought not to do, and we bring that which is accursed inside of our house, and we still expect God to bless our house. We still expect God, if you would please, to be able to give us the blessing that we so want. Achan perhaps thought he could get away with it too. Now, I don't know how many children he had. We can speculate. We know he had at least two boys and two girls. Because the Bible says, if you will, the Bible talks about that in verse 24. The Bible says, and his sons, plural, and his daughters, plural. So we know this, that on the day if we were going to have a funeral for him, like we would in our Western society today, at their death, there would be six caskets. There'd be the casket of dad. There'd be the casket of mom. There'd be the casket of at least two sons. And there would be the casket of at least two daughters. We know there'd be at least six caskets. That means probably, if we had a funeral for him today, in today's Western civilization, the way that we do funerals, there'd be 36 pallbearers. That means that people knew that these people died. But I've got one better for you than that, because the Bible says that Joshua was a part of stoning them and all Israel. Can you imagine how it's taking place on that very day? Can you imagine? Can you imagine as all the Israelites line up and they hear, he's the one that caused us to lose the battle. His family is the one. That's the reason that the blessings of God are not falling. That's the very reason that things are not doing the way that they ought to go, and it's not happening the way that it ought to happen. And, oh, it's because of that one. They pick up a stone. They cast the stone. When they cast the stone, no doubt, said all Israel, did it not? That means that it's not just going to be men that's there. It's going to be women there, all Israel. It's not going to be just women there that watch the stoning. It's going to be children, all Israel. Probably his daughters were some friends with some other daughters of Israel. Probably the sons were friends with other sons of Israel. Or maybe the wife was in crochet classes together with other Israelite wives. Or maybe he was in hunting clubs together with other hunting buddies in Israel. Or maybe they all attended different types of Israeli soccer games. Maybe they all attended some Israeli football games. Or maybe they all attended some Israeli festivities that was held in the different places of their region. No doubt they knew each other. You notice this, when all of a sudden Joshua goes around and he is looking in all the tents. He didn't look in Achan's tent. He looked at all the tents. He never suspected Achan. May I give you some things about Achan tonight? Statement number one. In public, Achan was a good man. In public, Achan was a good man. He'd be the type tonight that would attend an independent Baptist church such as ours. He would stand with a hymn book in hand and a smile on his face and sing the songs. He'd be just like one of us. He would smile when everybody else smiled, and he would laugh when everybody else would laugh, and perhaps he'd shed a tear when everybody else would shed a tear. No doubt he might even say amen a time or two, because he knew that what the preacher was preaching was true. Perhaps during the altar call, he'd be one of the first ones to come down to the altar. He was a Levite. He was a good man. A Levite could be compared to that which is a bus captain today. A Levite could be compared to a Sunday school teacher today. A Levite could be compared to that which is a staff member or a faculty member today. A Levite could be compared to that which is an usher or somebody that sings in the choir, in charge of various ministries. That's what a Levite would do. And so he was somebody, if you would please, that was known among the brethren. And may I say, again, in public, Achan was a good man. His life on the outside looked acceptable. It looked like that he lived as every Christian ought to live. In public, you could not tell the difference. Maybe he wore a church tie, as often our men do. Maybe he would dress up just so special for a special occasion called the gathering together, what we call church. Maybe he would be somebody that would walk up and say, "You did a good job on that," because he knew what a good job was. But for some reason, something went wrong in this man's heart. For some reason, something went wrong in this man's head. And he started to let down his standards. He started to say, well, it's acceptable, it's okay. Maybe he got caught up with this attitude, everybody else is doing it, so I guess it's okay for me too. After all, in those other independent Baptist churches, they're doing this and they're doing this, and so I guess it's all right for me to do too. Well, just because somebody else does something doesn't mean it's right before God. And God says some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. May I remind you, please, to whom much is given, much is required. If God has showed you something, don't you dare back off from what God has showed you. You be that individual that stays true to God and you let God bless you. Why? Because you're in danger. You're endangering your loved ones. You're endangering your family if you stop standing for God. May I say statement number one, in public, Achan was a good man. Statement number two, in private, Achan was not a good man. In private. Oh, you say, preacher, don't you go there. You keep your nose out of my business. My nose became a part of your business when you became a member of Parkside Baptist Church. Because I'm your shepherd. And I love you. And if a shepherd loves the people that he's the pastor of, he's going to try and help them. You say, but if you say something tonight that makes me mad, I'll be mad. I would rather you be mad at me and me stand before my blessed Lord and be able to give a good answer for what I did to be able to help you get right in an area than to you for you to live a wrong life and wind up in sin and ultimately destroyed. Here's what we understand. In private, he was not a good man. In private, he played the fool. By the way, he might have been good at fooling his neighbor. He might have been good at fooling his church friends. He might have been good at fooling his co-workers. But you have a hard time fooling those that are at home. Your family knows when you don't have family altar. Your family knows when you're not behaving the way you should. May I say, your wife and children, they really know who you are. Can I say tonight that your husband and children, they really know who you are. Can I say tonight, young person, your parents, they really know who you are. I wonder tonight, do you have the youth director fooled, but you don't have God fooled? I wonder. I wonder, young person, tonight, do you have the choir director fooled, but you don't have God fooled? I wonder if you got the orchestra director fooled tonight, but you don't have God fooled. I wonder if you have the principal fooled, but you don't have God fooled. I wonder if we get into basketball and volleyball season, are you really going to have the coaches fooled? I mean, you know. But when it comes into your private world, you don't have God fooled. Statement number one, in public, Achan was a good man. Statement number two, in private, he was not a good man. Oh, by the way, can I help you? If you're doing something that you know is sinful, you know it's not right, and you have no Holy Ghost conviction, why? Why? If you're saved and you're doing something that's wrong and you're not convicted about it, why? Has a person's heart come so hardened? Have we become so accustomed to the world that we feel more comfortable with the world than we feel with God's people? Is that the way we are? Oh, look, I've been preaching for 40 years, and can I tell you, I've seen churches change. I've seen them. I've seen people get up, if you would please, don't turn this on. I've seen people get up and they begin to sing. When they begin to sing, they eat the mic. It becomes, if you would please, a display of disgrace. I've seen it. I've seen us go from choirs to worship groups. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen the style of music changed. I've seen the type of Bibles they use that you can't even call Bibles. I've seen it. Then you wonder why those kids are so confused. By the way, the Bible's not changed. God has not changed. Old-fashioned preaching has not changed. So I've seen people who's left our church, and I look at their kids in utter disgust. Because I said, what happened? They were faking it while they were making it here, but they changed when they left to go someplace else. And can I tell you, that doesn't impress God. The God of the Bible is still the God of the Bible, no matter where you go. Here's what we understand tonight. In public, Achan was a good man. He knew how to put on the Ritz. He knew how to put on the game face. In private, he was not a good man. Statement number next. What is it, if you will, please? What is hidden in your tent? Now, a tent was a house. So what is hidden in your tent? What is hidden in your house? Have you stolen the belongings of someone else? What is hidden? Is it like whitened sepulchres, sort of like the Pharisees? You know, kind of white on the outside, dirty on the inside. What is hidden beneath the rugs in your house? Are you covering up dirty movies? Just asking. Is your house filled with wickedness? Just wondering. Could it be tonight that there's beer and liquor in your refrigerator, hidden behind the milk? Just curious. Could it be tonight that there's immodest clothing in your closet that you wear to please you when you're not around others to impress them? Just curious. I wonder tonight, what music do you listen to in your home? Is it Christ honoring or is it jammed down? Just curious. I'm just wondering tonight, do you have unforgiveness in your heart? So when you leave here, you talk good about everybody on church property, but when you get in your vehicle, all you do is talk bad about everybody on church property? Just wondering. Could it be that you're dealing with bitterness tonight? Could it be that your mouth is full of cursing? You wouldn't dare curse at church. When you leave church, you don't dare not curse. Could it be that you have pornographic material? Could it be? Could it be that maybe it's in the form of different types of things you look at? And parents, you got to be careful. Today we live in a techno society. I know very little about computers. But what I don't know, I surround myself with men that do know. I believe that probably if you weren't sure about what your kid's looking at on his computer or on his phone, you could probably bring it to somebody that's here, that's one of our IT guys that works out in the general populace, and they could probably tell you pretty quick, yep, or nope, they're not into that. There is ways to find out if a parent really cares to find out what's hidden in the tent. May I say this tonight? Is there harmful drugs in your house? I know of a lady, and she had to take some drugs that she was hurting all the time. She kept them in the house, and she kept them in a certain place, and her son knew exactly what place it was she kept them in. And so every so often, he'd go in there and pop them, and he got addicted, and he wound up losing his life. You know, if you got to take certain amounts of drugs in order to be able to help you sustain yourself because a doctor gave them to you, hey, when it's over, get rid of them. Yeah. Don't keep them. May I say, is there disrespectful words, demeaning words, hurtful words? We're just not talking about stuff that you find in substance around the house. But I'm talking about, do you degrade your wife in front of your kids, or yea, even in private? Do you say hurtful things? Do you cut each other down? True story. Couple came in for counseling and said, you know, we're always yelling at each other. I mean, always. But for some reason, through your preaching, we found out that maybe we shouldn't do that. So I asked the question, what made you think you should have did that to begin with? And they said, because that's what our parents did. That's what we thought was a happy marriage. So they thought a happy marriage was yelling at each other. Hello? Can I tell you, when my mom and my dad got into a fight, it was not a tongue-lashing fight. It got physical at my house. I can remember my mom throwing frying pans at my dad. I'm talking about skillets. I'm talking about iron skillets. Can I tell you, I've never picked up that habit. And I thank God my wife has never picked up that habit. There's peace around our house. It's not because she knocked me out on the floor. I'm saying this tonight. What is it like around your house? Are we one way at church and another way at home? Are we so impressed with impressing men that we forget to impress God? Somebody says, well, you know, I behave this way at church and I behave this way at home. That's called a hypocrite. You remember years ago, they would have the plays, and most of the time it was men of ancient history that would play on the drama sets. And what they would do is, they would run off the stage and they would grab another mask, put it on. Then they'd run back on the stage and they would play the role. Then they'd run off the stage. By the way, that's where, if you would please, the true definition described of hypocrisy would come in. Come on. Oh, you say, preacher, you believe we ought to act like Christians all the time? That's what God says. It's what God says. You mean, preacher, I'm supposed to act and walk and dress like God says all the time? Your issue's not with preacher. Your issue's with God. Why is it that we're so embellished with that which is the fact of, I've got to impress so-and-so, but you could care less about God? I don't get that. He's the one we're supposed to be impressing. May I say tonight, is laziness hidden underneath the carpet in your house? Is disobedience there tonight? Is rebellion there tonight? Is it that you have more respect for man tonight than you do God tonight? There was a time when men would rise up and they would fear God. May I say, that is still good. It's still good. Statement number one tonight, in public, Achan was a good man. Statement number two, in private, Achan was not a good man. Statement number three, what is hidden in your tent? Statement number four, here we go, basic message tonight. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You going to wait till your kids get destroyed? You going to wait till all of a sudden God says, I told you! How many times does a preacher stand? We had a good youth conference. Would you agree? Yeah. Here's what these guys did. These guys stood up. They stood behind the pulpit and said, let me tell you, let me tell you, let me tell you. And they did. Is it going to be tonight that we don't care what the Bible says? And later somebody's going to come up and say, I told you! I had a friend that When I was in high school, it was my neighbor where I grew up on that 180-acre farm. I'd go back, or he left the farm at age of six, not being raised by my parents. You know the story. But up until the age of 16, they kept the farm, the people that raised me. So here's what I'd do. I'd go over and I would help to manage the farm. I'd help to make sure the crops were in. I would be able to help because I was trained that way coming up, and they kept training me and whatnot until finally they handed the stuff over to me. I don't know, I was about 13, 14 or so. I helped to keep the books. I helped to manage some of the properties and stuff. Now, can I tell you what? When I would go back over there at the age of 13, 14, 15, and 16 before they sold the farm, I had certain responsibilities that I was supposed to do. There were certain chores that needed to be done at certain times. There were certain fields that needed to be turned over at certain times. You said, that's an awful lot for a 13, 14, and 15. Not if you're trained up in it. It's like riding a bike. You knew what to plant. You knew what needed to be put in. You knew what type of fertilizer to use. You knew exactly when you were supposed to begin to take in the harvest. You knew how many people that you'd have to contact in order to be able to get in, to be able to have a good harvest. I mean, you just knew that stuff because you grew up around all that stuff. You knew what tractor to use here and there. I mean, you just knew all that stuff. But can I say this? Most of us know what to do. We do. Most of you that's sitting in this church, I'm a first-generation Christian, first-generation Christ, the first one getting saved in my home. So I didn't come up around it. Amen. But most of you did. But we did this at youth conference, just to show you. How many of you are not a first-generation Christian? In other words, you came up in a Christian home. You came up in a Christian home. Stand to your feet. You came up in a Christian home. Watch this. Look at this. Now, isn't that amazing? I mean, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. You know, God expects an awful lot out of you. You say, well, I know what God expects. Then shame on you if you're not doing what God expects. And you expect to keep your kids, and you expect your kids to turn out right. They're not going to turn out right if you don't do what you're supposed to do. Thank you. Be seated. Here's what we understand. What are you supposed to do? Statement number one. I'll just give you a couple of statements. Know what is right and wrong. Simple. Figure it out. Know what is right and wrong. Now, most of that you can detect through Bible teaching and preaching. Right. Statement number two, know what place God will have you to please him in. Know what place God would have you to please him in. Okay, a place. Church is a place. You can please God in church. Find your place. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Now you give a place to God. Statement number three, get rid of wrong things immediately. Get rid of wrong things immediately. You say, well, I like that movie. I know it's got nudity in it, but I like it. Get rid of wrong things immediately. But that's my favorite song. Get rid of wrong things immediately. But that's my friend. Get rid of wrong things immediately. Statement number four. Think about this. Keep the right things always. Keep the right things always. Whatever's right, keep it. By the way, there's enough right things to have fun with. You don't have to veer to the wrong things. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't chew tobacco like some of the ladies here do. No, I don't chew tobacco. That slipped, sorry. But I have fun. Okay, here we go. Ready? Two more statements. I'm done. Here it is. decide to live right in front of God and man. Decide to live right in front of God and man. By the way, let me show you the great tester. Can I show you the great tester? You believe something was wrong before you had teenagers. Now you have teenagers, and they smart mouth you, and you let them get away with it. They live slightly wrong, and you say, oh, it's okay. Now I'm just preparing you that have children right now that are younger than teenagers. Your day of trials is going to come. There's going to be a day when they say, well, I don't think like you. I don't like what you're saying. There's going to be a day when they might rise up and say, well, let me tell you, I just don't believe what you believe. Well, you could say this, well, you're sleeping in my house. You're eating my food. So as long as you're sleeping in my house and eating my food, you're not going to do that. Got three amens on that. Decide you're going to live right in front of God and man. Don't just put on the show when you come to church. Hey, I'm all for dressing up for church. I am. I think you ought to dress up for things important to you. If I was going to go see the president, I'd dress up. I respect his office. If I was going to go try and get a job somewhere, I think I'm going to put on my best. If I'm going to take my wife out on a special date, I'm going to dress sharp. Yeah. But I like dressing up. I do. Sometimes I'll leave work and I go pick my wife up and I say, honey, let's go. And we go to Chili's or something. Not a real classy place or nothing like that, but just a nice place to eat. We'll head over to maybe, different places than Burger King. I mean, we might go to Cracker Barrel or Olive Garden or someplace like that. You know, maybe a little bit upscale instead of a Burger King, McDonald's, or Wendy's or something, you know. But there has been times when, even when I lived in Brooklyn, New York, when we go out to the high classy places, we dress up. Can I tell you, I think church is a high classy place. And I'm coming to the place where there's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that's going to be preached about. I worry about churches that's always just lowering it. Hey, there's going to come a day, Brother Walters, they can't lower it any further. How far are you going to go? Where's it at? I mean, where did it go? Yeah, now you walk in churches and you hear music that you'd hear in the bar the Saturday night before. Brother Pastor, is that right? It's crazy. Here's what we see. So what do? Decide you're going to live right in front of God and man. Last statement. Here we go. You ready? Just press on. Just press on. Just say, man, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You say, what if somebody disagrees with me? Somebody's always going to disagree with you. You haven't figured that out yet? You live for God, somebody's going to disagree with you. You compromise, somebody's going to disagree with you. So why don't you just agree with God and do what God says? By the way, everybody that has an opinion will voice it at one time or another. I don't like so-and-so. Somebody told me that the other day. I said, you know so-and-so? I said, yeah, I thought it was going to be a good conversation. They said, well, I don't like him. I said, okay, let's talk about something else. They said, well, you don't want to know why I don't like him? I said, look, it's none of my business who you like and who you don't like. But I will tell you this, you're not going to talk about him in my presence. And he said, well. I said, no, it's Wells. My name was. Here's what I understand. I understand this. I understand that we can do whatever we want to do. But I'm just telling you, to whom much is given, much is required.
Amen.
Some of us know better than what we're living. And you should live as better as you know. Come on. Some of you used to be faithful to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Then COVID became your excuse for laziness. Well, I'm afraid if I go, I just might get it. But you go to the grocery store. You go to the bank. You go over people's houses. You get gas and you touch the handle. You're gonna die. Isn't it funny how we make our own perimeters? Yeah. If I was young again, my wife is watching. Honey, we will never be that way. But if I was young again, I don't think I would change anything that we've done. Trying to rear our children, trying to put God first, trying to sacrifice for God and righteousness and good, training soldiers. I don't think I'd change anything. I just don't. But may I say this? If you think you should have changed something and you still have children, it's not too late. You might have to go home and do this. Hey, I apologize. I've let this slip in the house, and I'm sorry. You might have to humble yourself a little bit. I'm sorry. I let this slip in the house. I'm sorry. But from this day forward, no more. Work with me. I love you, but no more. We're going to go forward to obey God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.